And we welcome you to another edition of Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New York Giants, here on the MSG Networks. I'm Bob Papa, joined by my Hall of Fame linebacker, Harry Carson, Super Bowl champion linebacker, Carl Banks, and we got a little offense, too, and the Giants could use some help on offense. We got Super Bowl champion Howard Cross. Let's take a look at what we have in store for you coming up on the program as we get you set for the Giants and Eagles Sunday afternoon in Philadelphia. We'll be joined in studio by Giants head coach Ben McAdoo. Carl Banks goes to the coach's tape. He'll break down the strategy. Paul Dottino has a chance to visit with Giants running back Shane Vereen. Dominic Rogers-Cromartie will join us in studio. And we sent Brandon London on a road trip after all of his partying last week with the 10-year anniversary of Super Bowl 42. He goes behind enemy lines in Philadelphia. But time to put item number one up on the board. We call this no huddle. 25 seconds on the clock. And as always, we'll start with our Hall of Famer, Harry Carson. Harry, it's been a long time.
You know what, Bob? Home opener for the Giants. It's been a long time since I've heard boos like I heard on Monday night against this team. Actually, I've never heard boos in the first game, just coming out the chutes, coming off of a playoff season. So I think what the Giants have to do, and Carl and I have been a part of this, you gotta use those boos as motivation to move forward. You should be angry that your own fans are booing you, and I think that should serve as some kind of motivational tool as you move forward to right this ship.
And that is saying a lot, considering you played on the 77, 78, 79 New York Giants were about as bad as it comes. All right, 25 seconds on the clock for Mr. Banks. Circle the wagons, Tom.
Well, it's kind of an add-on to what Harry's saying. When he talks about using it as motivation, circle the wagon means everybody, all hands on deck, but everybody working in concert with each other. Special teams helps the offense and the defense helps the offense, and the offense does their job.
All right, and he stays under time. All right, Howard, 25 seconds for you. Just cause?
Guys, I hate to do this, but
think about this.
Just cause. When we used to show up to stadiums, we were angry just cause we were there. We had to go to practice, we were mad just cause we had to practice. We would run the ball just cause we could, or just cause this other team didn't want us to. We would make tackles, make plays, just cause. The team doesn't need to just circle the wagons or just be mad at boos. They should just be mad, period, and go out. Just cause.
Wow, right on time.
There we go.
Just cause he hit the time right on the nose. All right, so that takes us to item number two, and this is what we call stay steady. All right, there's a lot of noise around this football team right now. A lot of people picked this team to be one of the best teams in the NFC, coming off 11-5 last year, 0-2 start. How do you keep the players insulated from a lot of this noise on the outside?
Just what he said. You got to circle the wagons, because at the end of the day, it's those guys in the locker room who can right this situation. It's those coaches. So you're going to hear a lot. I mean, you're going to hear a lot from the media, but ultimately, it's about those guys in the locker room getting together, circling that wagon.
Yeah.
And playing just cause, you know, they sort of laid an egg.
Just cause they got pride.
Yeah, this is pride time.
Yeah, and David Deal said it best. He said, nothing matters outside of this building. The people that can fix it are not the people that are talking about it outside. It's the people in that locker room, the coaches, the secretary, everybody in this building are the only people that can fix it, and that's all that matters.
I know you can't have coaches on the field. You can't work with guys constantly and do everything. But as a group, as a unit, as a defensive unit, or as an offensive unit, I'd say, hey, guys, let's go out to the field house where nobody else is around. Let's start talking about and working through some of the things we're messing up. We've watched it on film. If practice ends and everybody's, like, rushing to the car to get home, then it's not going to get better. They got to find a way to get it done. You got to find a way.
How hard is it for today's athlete, something that you guys didn't have to deal with? Everybody's got a smartphone. All these guys are always on their phone. You can't help but avoid the noise. When you guys played, you could choose to not pick up the newspaper, not look at it, and really not pay attention to what the writer said or when you did an interview.
I think as players, you got to block everything out, because as you hear things, you know, people are going to be asking all these questions. You got to block it out. And again, go back to those guys who are around you. you know, feed off of them, commiserate together if you need to, but you got to get ready to go against the Philadelphia Eagles and right the situation.
I'd like to think that these young men are savvy enough to cut it off. I don't think they need it during this time of the year. Most of these guys do it for entertainment purposes, not because they need the adulation. And I think they're smart enough to cut, especially when things ain't going well, they don't want to read any of that. So they'll cut it off.
Everybody's their own corporation now. So that's the problem.
All right, so we're just getting started here on the program. Lots to come here on the show, including Giants head coach Ben McAdoo in just a minute. Let's take a look at all the Giants programming for you throughout the course of the weekend and the week. Giants First and 10 presented by Stop and Shop debuts every Friday with a couple of airings on Friday, then a whole bunch on Saturday, and another airing on Sunday morning at 10:30. You don't want to miss that. Giants Access Blue presented by Toyota on My9 on Saturday night at 11 p.m. Don't want to miss Giants Chronicles on MSG, 10 a.m. Sunday morning, presented by New York Presbyterian. Giants Chronicles with OCU Manure. And then after the game, it'll be Giants Postgame Live presented by Mercedes-Benz on MSG. A lot of stuff coming up for you. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, the head coach of the Giants, Ben McAdoo, joins us as we continue with Giants First and 10 presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Network. Welcome back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Network. Sunday, 1 o'clock, Giants and Eagles, Lincoln Financial Field. Item number 3 goes up on the board. As always, we're joined by the head coach of the New York Giants, Ben McAdoo. And, Coach, obviously not the start you're looking for. How do you keep your team sort of insulated from all the noise on the outside?
Yeah, we have talented men of integrity in the locker room. We're really not worried about the noise outside. We're focused within. It takes a strong group of leaders in the locker room to get that done, and we're fortunate that we have it.
Coach, you've often talked about being a heavy-handed team. This group that you're facing this weekend, they're a physical defense, but they kind of play with a heavy hand too. So does it make it easier for you guys just to get the focus and know exactly the tempo to play at?
Well, anytime the Giants and the Eagles get together, you know it's going to be a brawl, and that's what we expect. When we go down south, we know it's going to be a physical football game, a heavy-handed football game against two pretty good football teams that are evenly matched. And it's not going to take much motivation to get our guys going.
Coach, how important is it for you guys to get something positive early in the game? Whether it's an offensive big play or defense gets a three and out or maybe gets a tip ball and gets a turnover, just to get some energy going early in the game and not fall into that sort of malaise as the game wears on?
Yeah, I think, I don't think that's important at all. I think when you come out of the tunnel, you got to be ready to play 60-plus minutes, whatever it takes. It doesn't matter what happens early in the game. It doesn't matter how you start. It matters how you finish. And you got to be the better team when the game's finished and have a chance to wear the team out and impose your will in the fourth quarter. And we haven't been in position to do that the last 2 weeks, and we got to get that done this week.
Coach, I've heard you speak of being – a team that plays complementary football. Now, people can look at that and say, okay, offense has to do a part, defense and special teams. But there's also the intra-game complementary, too, where there's no rule that says if your offense is off the field that your defense can't get them back on the field. Is that fair to say in terms of how you complement each other during the course of a game?
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about defensively, we want to tackle great. We don't want to miss tackles because we want to get them on the ground. Every yard's important. From a punt return standpoint, we got to get the returner going. We have to give them an opportunity to return balls, and we haven't been doing that yet. We got to get better on the outside, and the offense has to move the ball. One first down, all right, is better than no first downs, obviously. Two first downs, if we want to punt the ball, punting is okay, all right? Punting isn't the end of the world, but when you punt, you want to be punting from the 50-yard line so you have a chance to pin the opponent back and flip the field. That's what we haven't done so far this year. So it all works together. Each phase has a responsibility to the other to get their responsibilities done.
Are you encouraged by what you've seen? Because if you look at the tape, despite the fact of the way some of the scores have gone, there have been missed opportunities to make a play, a catch, or maybe a contested ball in the end zone. You guys have had a bunch of opportunities to intercept balls that have been knocked down as opposed to getting the interception. Do you use that as a positive when you're coaching with the guys that, hey, look, we're giving ourselves some opportunities to make plays. Now we just got to finish it.
No, we just go through and talk about how the games have gone and the opportunities that we're missing that are there, and we need to cash in on the opportunities. And the last thing we want to do is go in and start pressing. We want to let the game play, come to us. We earn the right to just go play free and excited and fast and physical football by the way we practice. And that's earned on Sundays. You have to earn that during the week so you can go do that on Sundays or Monday night or whatever the case may be.
Coach, what is the balance coming off a tough weekend and getting your guys back? And you guys go through the tape. You have a 24-hour rule. Mm-hmm. But it's important, I know, to you to say, okay, here's some opportunities that we had if one thing didn't happen or another thing didn't happen. And then how do you turn those into a positive the next time you practice? Okay, we like this run, but we got to make sure that this is done. We got to attention to detail. How do you transition into that?
Well, we always talk. We don't put all of our eggs in one basket. We always talk about what we do well, what we need to work on, and then where we go from here, the plan to get better. And we have to continue to grow and develop as the season goes on. We can't just be, where you are isn't where you stay. Mm-hmm. It's who's playing the best football in December. Now you got to stack wins in the process, and that's something we have to get started doing and doing in a hurry. But it's about, where you are. You got to learn from it. If you don't learn from it, it could be fatal. Mm-hmm. And so we got to learn from it. We have to find a way to get better and grow, and we have a plan in place to do that.
Should be a lot of fun on Sunday. They're going to welcome you with open arms. Those fans in Philadelphia, they love seeing that blue coming out of the tunnel. I'm sure you'll have fun with it, Coach.
We're excited.
That's New York Giants head coach Ben McAdoo. As the Giants get ready to take on the Eagles, it is time to put item number 4 up on the board. Let's go to the coach's tape with strategy and Carl Banks.
The front four of the Philadelphia Eagles, they love to cause chaos. You'll see the Washington Redskins have potentially 6 guys to block 4. I'm going to let this run and slow it down, and you'll see where breakdown comes and the help doesn't come through for the offense. Again, bring it back. Watch the right defensive tackle. He makes a swim move at the line of scrimmage. If I freeze it, you've got everyone blocked up but one guy. You have a running back as a safety valve to help out. And I'll run it more. He doesn't help. So now there's a clear shot to the quarterback. The key to good pass protection is knowing where you're potentially going to break down and being able to help that guy out. You've got to be able to get them all blocked up, knowing if you have a breakdown, the running back right there should come in and stop the defensive tackle from having a straight shot at the quarterback. Now, another look that the Philadelphia Eagles will give the Giants is pressure. Sometimes they disguise it. Sometimes they're very open about it. Here, they're very open about it. You'll see number 58, the linebacker, he shows, he blitzes. What happens is, now you've got to figure out if you've got them all covered. I'll bring it back. You know where they're blitzing from on the front side. You'll see 58 come. Let's see what happens on the right side. You run it slowly. The defensive end drops out. Now that leaves a free blocker to help out on the inside, which the guard does. The guard comes in and wipes out. But what happens? The guy with the easiest block, the offensive tackle, all he has to do is keep one guy out, but he gets collapsed and the quarterback gets the ball knocked out.
That strategy with Carl Banks brought to you by PSE&G. We make things work for you. Let's take a look at Giants first and 10 and the programming throughout the course of the week here on the MSG Networks. A couple of airings on Friday, and then we have 5 of them for you on Saturday, and then one final tune-up Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. after Giants Chronicles on MSG. We're going to take a timeout when we come back on the program. Paul Dottino settles in. He interviews Shane Vereen. All that and much more as we continue with Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Network. Welcome back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop. 1 o'clock kickoff, Giants and Eagles in Philadelphia on Sunday. Time to put item number 5 up on the board, and this is our Paul Dottino heading to the Giants locker room. How can this offense get going? And obviously, the Giants and Eagles, always a tough matchup. Paul had a chance to visit with veteran running back Shane Vereen.
And Shane, one of the things I think people notice right away when they talk about the Giants and Eagles is that over the last several years, they've had your number. Now, I don't know if that's more psychological or more schematic. Mm-hmm. How do you see it?
I see it as two big rivals going at it, and that's, you know, that's the culmination of them getting the upper hand on us the past couple of times we've played them. When you play divisional teams, especially divisional rivals, you know, nobody knows you better. Nobody plays you harder. Nobody plays you tougher. And that's the kind of game we're going into. It's going to be a physical bout, and it's going to go 12 rounds.
Now, we know their pass rush is very good. They're active. They're strong. As a running back, especially on third down, how important is pass pro going to be for you?
Extremely important. Extremely important. The one thing that the defense is very, very good at is getting to the quarterback, disrupting passing plays, disrupting timing. And so it's going to be important for us to, as running backs, to give Eli extra time, help the O-line when they need it, and still be able to get out into our routes.
What is it about the characteristics of their pass rush? Is it more the speed? Is it more disguising? What is the biggest issue you have to do to be successful against it?
You gotta meet physicality with physicality. They're a very physical front four. They're fast, yes. They're powerful, yes. But they're physical. They play with their hands very well. And the only way to be physical is to be more physical. And I think that's what we're going to do.
And then finally, for you guys, these first two games, your first quarters have been very, very slow starting for the offense. How critical is it that you guys actually get that spark in the first period?
It's critical. I think that's critical to any game. I mean, you've seen how the last couple games have gone without a spark, without something early. We always say start fast, finish strong. And this game is definitely going to be important for us to start fast. I mean, Philly's a good team. They've looked good on film, and so we can't really give them any extra opportunities.
Overall, the Eagles have won 5 of 6, including 3 consecutive in Philadelphia. Paul Dottino joins us now. And, Paul, you know, as lopsided as it's been, the Giants really could have swept the season series last year. In that loss in December, the Giants were 1 of 5 in the red zone. So they moved the ball. Eagles got a pick 6. You know, you talked to Vereen. What was did you sense confidence from him?
I think he understands, and I think all the Giants understand what they need to do. You can't be climbing up the mountain for a half, 3 quarters, 4 quarters. It's just too hard to do, especially in a raucous environment. Now, over the first two games of the season, combined in the first quarter, the Giants have averaged, Howard, less than 3 yards per play and have a total of only 3 first downs. That's not going to get things done against a very tough Eagles team.
Yeah, you know, but I hate to say this. Even though that's happening, if you go in and you go a 3 and out, then the defense has to come around and have a 3 and out to get the ball back into their hands and give them another opportunity. You can't go 3 and out and then sit there while the other team has an 8-minute drive.
Yeah, he's exactly right, Paul. There's no rule that says the defense can't do their part. That's called complementary football. But I think the thing that Shane pointed out was physicality. Meet physicality with physicality, because they don't disguise their blitzes a whole lot. You kind of understand what side they're going to blitz from. But when they come, they have guys that pick it up. They end up on the ground and the defender running over them, making sacks. So being physical is very important.
Carl, let me ask you this. As a defensive player who likes to get to the quarterback, if the Giants are able to throw a big play downfield to Marshall or Ingram like they did in the second half of the Detroit game, mm-hmm. early in the first quarter, can that not give that defense, especially with a banged-up secondary, some extra stuff to think about?
Well, it will, but they won't pull off the dogs. This is their personality. They just keep coming. They keep coming, and they try to create chaos. The Giants just have to keep hitting big plays on them. That's all that matters.
Yeah, and I think Howard brought up a good point, too. If they go 3 and out, the defense needs to get a 3 and out, because if you look at these first quarters, whether it was the Dallas game or even the Lions game, the Giants are losing field position because they're doing nothing on offense. They're punting the ball. The defense is giving up 3 third downs. And maybe even if the Giants hold them to a punt, the Giants are starting at their own 9.
Yeah.
And that's hard to get things going. Paul, yeah. Good stuff.
Good to see you guys.
Hey, did they throw stuff at you when you're walking the sidelines in Philadelphia?
They just might this week.
Good stuff from Paul Dottino. This segment has been brought to you by NFL Ticket Exchange, the only official ticket exchange of the National Football League. We're going to take a timeout when we come back on the program. Madeline Burke joins us for Bulletin Board as we continue with Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Network. Welcome back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop. Still to come here on the program, we're going to look back as we continue our 10-year celebration of the Super Bowl 42 Giants and a big win in Philadelphia. Dominic Rogers-Cromartie will join us here on the program. In our Extra Point segment, Howard Cross goes toe-to-toe with Art Stapleton of The Record, and we sent Brandon London down to Philadelphia to get a little Philadelphia flavor. But now it's time to put item number 6 up on the board. We call this bulletin board, and our monitor, Madeline Burke, to check out that board.
Thanks, Bob. Yes, lots of bulletin board material this week. The Giants offense, obviously a topic of discussion, but Mark Maskey of the Washington Post says, quote, the Giants have gone 8 straight games without reaching 20 points, including last season's playoff defeat to the Packers. They probably will be playing for their season on Sunday in Philadelphia. Now, it is week 3, but is this a must-win game?
I would have to say yes, it is. I think with the offense being so anemic, the defense not playing as well as they have been playing on Monday night, and then special teams, this is a time when all three phases of the game, you know, this team has to come together and just play good football. Even if they don't win, they have to be competitive. They have to put up a fight.
I think it's fair. I think it's a conference game, too. They have 4 straight conference games, so you lose 3 out of 4 of those. It's hard to climb back in.
Yeah, I mean, and if you just look at since the realignment in 1990, only 3 teams, I mean, the percentage is like 2% that start 0-3 make it to the playoffs. So, I mean, there's a reason why that stat exists, because it's hard to overcome. And more importantly, as Carl mentioned, you'd be 0-3 in the conference, and you'd be 0-2 already in the division. That's tough to overcome.
Very tough. And the Giants have had a tough schedule to start so far this season. But like you mentioned, the playoffs, and Andrew Culp of CSN Philly says, quote, a lot of people had this team pegged as a contender for an NFC East championship. And while it's too early to rule out, he's never been sure why. Now, sure, New York's defense is excellent. This isn't 2007, though. It's not good enough to overcome this level of offensive ineptitude. Were the expectations heading into this season too high for this team?
I don't think so. I just think they have failed to live up to those expectations thus far. But it's a fair expectation to have based on the personnel that you look at this roster.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Coming off of what they did last year, we all thought that, you know, they were going into a high mode of play, you know, sort of seizing off of being in the playoffs and so forth. Going to Dallas, they had played well at Dallas the last couple of years. And then, you know, you have Detroit at home. You expect this team to play well and, you know, just do much better than they've been doing. So underperforming.
Or perhaps the expectations leading into the level of disappointment?
Yeah, I mean, well, 11-5 last year, and you add Evan Engram, you add Brandon Marshall, and I think people expected that this offensive line and this running game would be improved at least a little bit. And so far it hasn't, which has led to a lot of problems. Yeah. Madeline, good stuff as always.
Thanks, Bob.
Time to put item number 7 up on the board, the Giants celebrating the 10-year anniversary of Super Bowl 42. You know, we talked about Philadelphia always being a difficult place to play and always close battles between the Giants and Eagles. The Giants prevailed in one of those tight ones back in 2007. In December 2007, the Giants rolled into Philly for a showdown with their heated rivals, and the Eagles struck first.
Pulls right under pressure, checks down to Westbrook. No one's guarding him. Westbrook walks in for the touchdown.
Manning and the Giants would lean on Brandon Jacobs to keep them in the game.
Manning back, screen left for Jacobs with blockers to the 10, shoulder down at the 19-yard line.
Manning, play fake. Back to throw. Slides left, deep over the middle. Burris makes a sliding catch at the Philadelphia 46.
Then hook up with his Eagle killer, Plaxico Burris, to take the lead late in the contest.
Touchdown, Plaxico Burris!
There goes your man-to-man treatment.
There
one
you go.
One, and he beat him cleanly.
Play clock is running. Here comes Akers.
Down by 3, Philly looked to tie the game.
Set, snap, spot, kick on its way. Does it have the distance? It is no good! It hit the right upright! Get the Giants to 9-4.
And the hallmark of that team, going on the road and winning in a big way in tough spots like in Philadelphia. We'll continue our look back all season long at the 10-year anniversary of the Super Bowl 42 champion New York Giants. When we come back on the program, Dominic Rogers Cromartie will join us. He's off to a fast start in 2017. We'll talk with DRC as we continue with Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Networks.
Giants bring pressure. Cousins gets sacked back on the 20-yard line. Dominic Rogers Cromartie.
Welcome back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop on Sunday at 1. It's the Giants and Eagles in Philadelphia. Giants looking for their first win of the season, and one of the guys that can help Big Blue get over the top, DRC.
Deep ball again. This one is for Austin. He underthrows it, intercepted by Dominic Rogers Cromartie. Run out of another sack, buying more time. Now fires one deep downfield. The pass intercepted on the sidelines. Did he get his feet in, DRC? Yes. Sidearms it over the middle. Intercepted by Dominic Rogers Cromartie. And he's running down the left sideline. DRC with his second pick of the game.
Showtime. You already know, baby. Big time players do big time things. Oh!
Giants bring pressure. Cousins gets sacked back at the 20-yard line. Dominic Rogers Cromartie.
He certainly brings the energy as we put item number 8 up on the board. And Dominic Rogers Cromartie joins us here in studio. And I don't know, watching that video, did you get hyped?
Yeah, I did. Something that chills.
And you had a pick last year against Carson Wentz. You were going to do a little more damage this week?
Yes, sir, definitely, man. They got some key guys this year. Bought in some big-time receivers, so they're throwing the ball a little bit more, but definitely looking to get after it Sunday.
Have you had a history of covering Alshon Jeffries? Tell us a little bit about him.
I think he's one of your bigger guys, you know, that exceptional at the jump ball. You know, they get like to throw a lot of balls up to him and let him make a play. You know, he's physical in his route running, you know. So I think the main thing is you got to challenge him. You got to get in his face. If you kind of play off of him and let him do what he want to do, that pays to his favor.
You know, I was telling the guys earlier, we used to play Philly, and you'd be mad just because you had to go to Philadelphia. Yeah. You were always angry with Philadelphia. You just wanted to get after him, and it was a rival game. I didn't care about Dallas or Washington. Philly always bothered me. Like, yeah. What's going on with the team and with you when it comes down to Philadelphia?
I think it's that's one of the big games. I've been on both sides, you know. I played there. Mm-hmm. I know how they feel about the Giants, and I know how we feel about them, you know. And it's definitely a battle. I can tell you that we're going into a hostile environment, and if you ain't right, man, it'll get ugly.
Talk about the role that you're playing. There's sometimes we see you at safety, sometimes you're a slot corner, sometimes you're a corner. Is that a lot of fun for you to be able to play multiple positions and? How does that, I guess, help you and this defense in terms of the different things you are, the different people you can cover?
I think it gives us, like, matchups, you know, different matchups. But it helps me because the more I play in the slot, the more disciplined I become. You know, outside, you can tend to get away with a lot of things, you know. But when you're in that slot, you know, you got to be focused. That throws a lot better. So I think it helped me to really be disciplined in my game because I'm a guy that like to bait the quarterback and try to do some things with my ability, but it's hard in that slot. So lining me up everywhere is just, I think it made me a more complete football player.
The fact that you've been playing a little safety, is that why you've been forcing so much off the edge?
Yeah, nah. I ain't gonna lie. When it was first presented, I thought, I was like, well, I don't know what they got going. I don't know about being back there. I know how it is back there, but you can see the field a lot better. Yeah. You know, that vision, seeing that quarterback, especially if you get a quarterback that can stare it down, yeah, it's a lot of fun back there.
Obviously, the start of the season, the defense, the way you guys were playing in the second half of the year last year was off the charts. It's not been the smoothest start defensively. What are some of the things that you guys feel you have to improve upon?
Third down, you know, that's the biggest thing. You know, I think Coach put up a stat today. We're like 26 in the NFL in third down, and coming off a season where we're like top five. You know, I think that's the biggest thing, just getting off the field and giving the ball back to our offense to get them opportunities. And another thing is, you know, I look at the guys that we have on that defense. I don't think enough plays are being made. You know, I think we're a team that feeds off that. You know, anytime you catch a pick, get a sack, or cause a fumble or something, you know, the team just we just take off. And we had a meeting with just the guys that we call ourselves the playmakers, you know, Snacks, OV, JPP, Landon, Janoris, you know, even Eli Apple, you know, it got to come between us, you know, and that's the only way we're going to get a spark. That's how we feel right now.
I like that, Dad. When you guys come together as the playmakers, mm-hmm. when you guys are fired up about it, you make some kind of commitment, and you can't say a ransom or anything like right, that right, on the air, but right. You got something going on, a kangaroo court,
yes,
so
sir,
to speak.
Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. We got some perks. So. Hey, stuff.
I want to ask you about one more thing that has nothing to do with football per se, but you really have taken a very proactive role as far as giving back, whether it's the backpacks for the kids, getting ready for school, but a lot of things. Where does that passion come from for you?
I think just childhood memories. You know, I was always fortunate to just, I seen Peter Ward do it one time when I was in going to the Boys and Girls Club, and that always stuck out with me. You know, a guy to come back to an area that really doesn't have nothing, don't have no growth, no resources. You know, and I always told myself if I was ever in position, I'm going to continue that. And, you know, and I think I learned from just watching him growing up.
Former wide receiver, right, for the Bengals, yes, Peter Warren. Yeah. DRC, we appreciate what you do, obviously, for a lot of kids and a lot of communities around the area, and obviously your game. Good luck on Sunday.
Hey, appreciate it.
Dominic Rogers Cromartie joining us here on the program. We're going to take a timeout when we come back. We're going to tee it up with Extra Point. Art Stapleton of The Record will join us as we continue with Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Network. Stats Plus brought to you by Cash for Life from the New York Lottery. You can win $1,000 a day for life. 4,123. Eli Manning is now tied with John Elway for the sixth most completions in NFL history. Seven. The Giants have played seven overtime games against the Eagles. They own a 6-1 record. They're 4-0 in overtime in games played in Philadelphia. Eight. Odell Beckham Jr. needs 8 receptions to reach 300. It would make him the fastest player to 300 receptions in NFL history as he plays his 45th game on Sunday. And 12, the Eagles have started 12 different quarterbacks since Eli Manning became the Giants starting quarterback and began his streak on November the 21st of 2004. We welcome you back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop. Time to put item number 9 up on the board. We call this Extra Point, and we welcome in Art Stapleton of NJ.com, The Record. Art, obviously there's a lot of things to discuss here. Ben McAdoo made some comments after the game, yep. Reinforced them about the clock management and the delay of game penalty. You say no issues with that.
No, not at all. And Howard, you know, again, I think when you're looking in the locker room, people know what Eli can do. You're watching the film. Everyone in the stadium knows when it's fourth and goal, you got to get the ball off. Everyone's looking at that. So for the coach to come out, you know, Eli doesn't have a problem with it. And I think this team in some ways likes the criticism. I think everyone in that locker room looks at him and says, if he can get criticized, then I got to look in the mirror too.
I think it's much ado about nothing. I don't know why we're all so sensitive now. We're all in the barbershop talking about this, and now all of a sudden the barbershop conversation has to be a personal conversation. None of the players really care. They have to go to work, and they have to, you know, accept responsibility.
Yeah, I mean, it was an obviously bad play. Yeah. And the whole world saw it. So what? The coach said it. Eli has heard a lot worse things in his life.
You think?
Than that.
All right. From all the people who are complaining that McAdoo criticized.
Nobody wants to be complained about. No one wants to be complained.
Yeah. It's business, not personal.
We got to be all nice about it. All right, so Justin Pugh had to move to right tackle. It's something that the Giants knew might happen because he got some reps in practice last week at you think that might be a better spot for him?
Well, I think he's a good left guard. I think, honestly, Justin Pugh is probably the Giants' best option at four of the five spots on the offensive line. Obviously, he can't clone him and put him at four spots. I leave him at right tackle. I look at this as a long-term thing. I think you leave Ereck Flowers at left tackle for now, and Pugh at right tackle. Look at who they've got coming up. All guys are lining up on the right side. Brandon Graham. Then ultimately you're going to have Joey Bosa, Von Miller, Khalil Mack, Justin Houston. All of these guys are attacking the right tackle. Putting anyone else there, I have the most confidence in Justin Pugh.
You know what? I think Bobby Hart will be all right out there if he's able to be on both feet. You know, one of his ankles being banged up. I think I like him. I like him in that position. I understand him in that position. I think Pugh is better inside, believe it or not, at the left guard position. Just moving him out there is not going to settle anything. It's not going to make things better. Guys have to figure out ways to get chips, to get bumps, and make contact out there when you're doing it. You can't just, you know, abandon what you're doing.
All right, running back. You think Orleans Darkwa is the Giants' best fit?
They're the only team in the NFL without 100 yards rushing, and that's not one game, but two. I go Darkwa. I like his patience, and I think he presents a little bit more of a physicality. I don't think I'd give up on Perkins, but I'd go Darkwa first.
I think Darkwa is probably the guy. The only reason why, because he puts the foot in the ground, he runs upfield. He takes on contacts really quickly, and he can go. I think Perkins is more of an off-speed, different type guy.
Now, this offense has struggled. Is this defense feeling pressure right now?
I think they are. They talked a lot about how they should have gotten turnovers against Dallas in week one. I think they're pressing a little bit. I think they believe that they need to score in order to win. And I think they're kind of getting out of their assignments a little bit.
You got to get stops on third down. You have to get yourself off the field. You have to make plays. You have to set your picket fence, which you got to be famous for last year, and stop guys from running the ball. You can't live on last year. You can't live on what you think. You can't be the quote-unquote great defense. You have to make plays. That's on them. Has nothing to do with the offense.
Hey, Art, we appreciate you joining us here on Extra Point.
Thanks, guys. Great time. Thanks, Howard.
Art Stapleton and Howard Cross joining us this week on the program. When we come back, a little trip behind enemy lines. Brandon London takes you to Philadelphia. All that and much, much more as we continue with Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New York Giants, here on the MSG Networks.
The team doesn't need to just circle the wagons or just be mad at Boos. They should be mad, period, and go out. Just cause.
Anytime the Giants and the Eagles get together, you know it's going to be a brawl.
Hey, do they throw stuff at you when you're walking the sidelines in Philadelphia?
They just might this week.
Good stuff from Paul Dottino.
They won't pull off the dogs. This is their personality. They just keep coming. They keep coming.
I've been on both sides. You know, I played there. Mm-hmm. I know how they feel about the Giants, and I know how we feel about them, you know.
That was the Geico Show recap. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. As we welcome you back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop, time to put item number 10 up on the board. It's never easy going down to Philadelphia to play the Eagles. So we did a little recon with our own Brandon London in the city of brotherly love.
What's up, Giants fans? This is Brandon London coming to you from sunny Philadelphia, home of the Eagles, for our latest installment of Giants on the Road, presented by United Airlines. Big Blue will make its annual trip down the Turnpike in week three to face off against their bitter rivals for an NFC East showdown that is sure not to disappoint. And if you're one of those proud fans of the G-Men and are making the pilgrimage south this weekend to brave the heckling fans at Lincoln Financial Field, well, you might have some extra time on your hands before the game, and Philly is one of the most historic cities in the United States with lots of iconic sites to take in. You obviously have to go to Independence Hall to see where our founding fathers signed the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. You can check out the Liberty Bell or stroll down Elfert's Alley, the oldest residential street in the country. Or you can visit the Betsy Ross House to see where the first American flag was sewn. Are you an Eagles fan?
Of the flying bird?
The Philadelphia Eagles, the football team. They didn't have that back then, though?
Many of these words I'm not familiar with.
Okay. Brent. Now, doing the tourist thing can make any football fan hungry. But fear not, because this city has so much great food to offer. If you want to hang with the folks in traditional 1700s garb, you can dine at City Tavern. Or you can head down to Market Street and visit Reading Terminal to shop around with the Pennsylvania Dutch. But let's be honest, when you come to Philly, it's all about the cheesesteaks. Now everyone knows about the famous Pats and Geno's and their own inner city rivalry, but I wanted a true local feel, so I'm checking out Steve's Prince of Steaks. You love your boy Carson Wentz.
I love him, he's the real deal. He's bringing this one home this year.
You think so?
I think so.
Now I know I was supposed to get a steak cheesesteak, but I did chicken because it's the Eagles. I see you have the Carson Wentz jersey on. He could be the savior of Philadelphia. What are you guys thinking about him?
He is the savior of Philadelphia. Great quarterback.
And you finally got him some weapons. Alshon Jeffrey. Like
everyone knew.
But be honest, still not enough to beat those New York Giants though, huh? Carson Wentz and the new look Eagles definitely have the city buzzing. And the Giants will have to be on their A game in order to beat the Dirty Birds in their own house. It all goes down here at the Link at 1 p.m. on Sunday. So be sure to tune in to Giants Eagles.
Nicely done, Brandon. Guys, after he gave the one Eagles fan a hard time, I was expecting the next shot we saw would be Brandon holding like a steak.
I thought he'd be rolling on the ground like, get off, get him off.
He found the nicest Eagles fans in the city.
Oh, man.
Clearly.
You know what it's like to play there, man. What do you got to do mentally when you go into a place like that?
I think you just have to stay focused and understand that it's going to be a physical ball game for 60 minutes. It will be a clean game, but it's going to be hard fought. And the Giants can't go down and make mistakes. They have to come out and play their best game against the Philadelphia Eagles if they're going to salvage this season.
Well, in order to play their best game, they're going to have to be fundamentally sound, because you can play hard and not good, and that's not a good recipe.
Yeah, this is their Just Cause game. It's the Eagles, man. I used to get fired up. Just Cause is the Eagles, man. Having to go down there and play them. I remember guys throwing up in the tunnel. You know, everything was going on. I'm like, man, I'm ready to go. Let's get these guys.
Good stuff. Well, it's going to be interesting to see how the Giants handle the crowd, the physicality. Malcolm Jenkins seems to be a thorn in their side of that safety spot. Goodness. So it'll be a lot of fun. So for Harry Carson, Carl Banks, Howard Cross, and our entire crew, I'm Bob Poppins. The Giants and Eagles, 1 o'clock on Sunday. And don't forget Giants post-game live presented by Mercedes-Benz after the game here on the MSG Network. For our entire crew, thanks for joining us for this edition of Giants First and 10 presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Network.